cars are an exacerbating problem of a pre-existing issue of urban congestion.
I'm not one of those people that like fetishizes public transit.
We all like to do things at the same time because reasons.
Children are dumb. They're very stupid.
You can have a lot more fun in your house than you used to be able to.
Those places are not being replaced because it's illegal.
Human beings are arguably the most terrifying macro scale creature that have ever walked the earth. Philosophers. All right, David, what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about cars.
What about like the Pixar animated film?
No, we are going to pretend that never existed.
Not that bad.
Let's take a small tangent.
Okay.
There's a character in the movie Cars, the Disney Pixar movie.
Which one?
Mater.
Yeah. Tomater. Yes.
Yes. Tomater. A silly pun about tomatoes.
Played by Larry the Cable Guy.
That is unimportant. What is important is that Mater lives in a junkyard.
Yes.
Full of other cars that have been decommissioned, let's say.
Woof. Yeah, he's like...
The main character is friends with a guy who lives surrounded by corpses of his fellow species.
I mean, it's reminiscent of back when there was like the gravekeeper character in a lot of old stories, the guy who actually kept and lived on the
graveyard.
Yeah, but
graveyard. They're not buried, though.
Yeah, but...
And I feel like he probably takes parts from them from time to time.
Okay, but hear me out. Imagine if human body parts were still useful after we died and they didn't just immediately deteriorate. Because we already do this.
That's true.
We take body parts from dead people and throw them on ice sometimes to use
them. Anyway, this is not the topic. We're not going
to
go on.
It should be. Changing the topic from cars to essentially repo men and the ethics therein. Anyway, sorry. Tangent over.
No, we're going to talk about automobiles. And specifically their impact on the design of cities, in America. This applies to both, the United States and Canada and maybe other places in America, but I know, definitely those two places.
Can we, before we go into this,
uh-huh,
why this is kind of a uniquely American problem or America's problem? 'Cause it kind of is, right?
Yeah.
I think we should talk about that a little bit because I hear a lot of... because spoiler alert, I think you and I disagree about the nature to which cars are good or bad for our urban development.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those conversations that I have from time to time. And when the person's not from the United States, I kind of tell them, unless they've really done their research, you need... It's not the same. They're like, well, I live in Japan. I'm like, great. Not the same.
Sure.
So anyway, can we talk about why that's different first to kind of set the context?
Sure. I'm going to guess the first place this goes is America Big.
Not just America Big. Why? Okay. America not just big. America has had cars be available to the vast majority of the public longer than most places. Mm. We also have built cities since we've had cars in a way that a lot of other places haven't.
Right.
A lot of Europe, like, when do you think cars became something that was considered normal for the average American to own? When do you think that was? And we're not necessarily pulling up hot facts, and just to preface to anyone who may have these facts handy, we're just armchairing this discussion.
Right. So, I'm going to say like 40s or 50s.
Okay. 40s or 50s, right around World War II, right?
Right.
Okay. Do you know what the population of the United States was in the 40s or 50s and what the urban density was?
No.
It's less than it is today.
Right.
So the point I'm trying to get at is that we have urbanized essentially after cars became a thing. Mm-hmm. So we've had to build around cars more so than we had cars, more so than we built places and then reconfigured them to cars. Anyway, so point I'm trying to get at is a lot of other places were already kind of built to be a certain way and did not have cars factored into the equation and then thus have had to deal with them in other ways. So that'll become important later on, especially when we talk about, okay, what would you do about it? There are places where it's like, well, you're kind of already built to be walkable, for example, because that's what was going on when this place was originally built, whereas America's not that way. But anyway, so why are cars bad? Because you think they're bad.
Okay, I don't know that I'm going to go all the way and say cars bad. I have a car. I like that I have a car. It enables me to do certain things that I could not otherwise do.
Sure.
So I'm not going to say car's bad and I wish I didn't have one. The core complaint here is that cities are planned with cars in mind as the primary or perhaps sometimes only means of transportation.
Sure.
And this inhibits... okay, this is not... Okay. I don't necessarily want to just enumerate a bunch of ways that they interfere with perhaps preferable lifestyles.
Okay.
But let's perhaps think of examples one at a time and address those.
But before we do that, let's just acknowledge there are trade-offs being made when you design cities around cars. And we'll just say that as the default mode of transit, I think is a safe way to put it.
Yes. Cars certainly as default and sometimes only.
Sure. So you're giving things up in cities primarily, other places too, but primarily cities in order to be able to support cars as the primary mode of transit to any given place within the city. Fair?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And the core problem is that this is within cities. Like between cities, who cares? Get where you're going however you want.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the things that what are we giving up?
Okay, so most immediately noticeable to adults living in a city is being able to get to places that are not on the same street as you. So driving in a city, now obviously this depends on the density of the city as to how big of a problem this is. Driving in a city can be difficult though. More cars means more congestion in the traffic. And so it sometimes would actually be faster for you to walk than to take a car somewhere because there's just too much traffic.
Sure.
But all of this congested traffic also ends up impeding the pedestrians because they can't just walk across the street. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So we have we have designated places where people have to cross, which we call crosswalks. And in many places, it's in fact against the law to cross the street, not on a crosswalk. That's changing a little bit, but... in many places it is. And so if you say wanted to live in an apartment that is downtown and you want to be able to get to places that are nearby your apartment, well, this might actually be really difficult or impractical for you because of how much car traffic there is and that it is unsafe to cross the road at any given place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's going to be your first thing that you run up against.
Sure. And that's understandable. But even in that isolated scenario, you're also, say for example, like we did do the alternate case in which we essentially create city boxes where it's like you can drive up to the edge of the city, but then you get out of your car and they would have to walk from that point or public transit, maybe whatever. But you would have to then go from that point to then wherever you want to go in the city. Now for people in the city, this is better. Now, all of the transit is geared from getting to one point in the city to some other point in the city for the average pedestrian. And I mean, let's just call it what it is. The reason people see cars as inconvenient is because cities also face, in general, congestion problems, not just from vehicles.
Right.
It's people.
Right.
We are trying to find ways...
But it is easier and safer to negotiate other humans than it is metal boxes.
Sure. And you can build alternative forms of transit in ways that are cleanly separated. And to be fair, we do this with traffic as well. Traffic bridges are a thing.
Like, yes.
Like, even in not very densely populated places, you'll find places where you either go underneath the traffic and you're not impeded by walking, or you go over. Sky bridges are a thing that are not very common, because there's not really a universal modular building structure for most cities. But I would argue that cars are an exacerbating problem of a pre-existing issue of urban congestion that you would still have to deal with. Just
yes, I think the specific thing that makes cars worse is the danger of cars as compared to other, like, again, like, congestion of pedestrians is still inconvenient, but it is not dangerous.
Okay, but it's not unique to cars. Any form of mechanized transit is dangerous when mixed with unprotected people. People die being run over by trains.
They do.
For example. And the difference is there is that, well, trains run on a schedule. Cars are not scheduled. They're very...
Trains run on a schedule. Also, they're on a track. So, you know, if you're standing between the tracks, you are in the danger zone. Or if you're even near the tracks, you're in the danger zone.
You could make that same argument for streets. If you're standing in the street, you know you're in the danger zone.
Yes.
It's a lot rarer for traffic to leave the road and then become dangerous for other people, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the time when we worry about cars is when someone goes into a crosswalk and the problem is you have two agents that can make mistakes. Mm-hmm. The person can walk into the street and then be struck by a vehicle, or the person operating the vehicle can be negligent and drive through the right of way of a pedestrian.
Yeah.
You know?
So, okay. Two things to mitigate that. One, I don't necessarily seek to ban cars from cities. That's not my goal. I live in a city and I have a car. It would be inconvenient if I couldn't drive my car through the city.
Sure.
I think there are other practical considerations to actually implementing this in a way that is safe.
Mm-hmm.
But provided those details are worked out, and we can drill into those if we need to, giving pedestrians and cyclists the right of way always.
That is a way to mitigate the issue. I will
always put drivers on alert that you are liable if you strike a pedestrian or a cyclist. You need to slow down to avoid hurting people.
That's kind of how it is, though.
Well, that's already true.
Legally, anyway.
That's true, but again, like, but the proliferation of crosswalks and jaywalking laws kind of bite into that, though. Like, sure. In areas where there's a crosswalk, the pedestrian is expected to cross at the crosswalk, and so cars are free to drive as fast as they want. Well, not as fast as they want, but, you know, faster than is would otherwise be safe.
Sure.
For expecting a... Faster than you would drive if you expected anyone walking on the sidewalk to just at a moment's notice start walking into the street.
Sure. Well, this is why we have lower speed limits in residential areas, because people be milling about.
Yes.
Doesn't stop people from driving quickly.
No, it doesn't.
But...
And that is the practical consideration of there's other stuff you can do. You can design streets differently to make drivers want to drive slower on them.
Oh, yeah. I think... I forget what country it is. Maybe Denmark does this? There's a place
that's... There are many countries in Europe that do this.
Yeah, and these are places that are often lauded as, like, super bike-friendly, which,
yes.
Hear me out, I think bikes are also a scourge on urban development. Changed my mind. But,
I would prefer them to cars, though, in a lot of cases.
I wouldn't, but we'll get into that later. this episode's not about the secret evil that is the bicycle. But anyway, but...
Now, cyclists, on the other hand, we can that's different. They're different than the
bikes. Bicycles are a vector for cyclists. Anyway, I see your point. Like, but yeah, they make the roads narrower. For example, they put high curbs and there is no parking on the street. So
right, roads narrower, high curbs, make the roads windier.
Yes.
Which
is not a thing that we did in the United States very well.
Right.
We built urbans on grids because grids are nice.
Yes.
And easy to plan around. On paper.
Yes.
Even if they make a lot less sense when you actually build things.
Right.
For people. You know, and I think that you've seen that change some. you know, also they don't fit evenly into the natural existing landscape. You kind of have to flatten things to make grids work.
Right.
Anyway, that's not the point necessarily. But I don't know. To me, I feel like the conversation around cars is a distraction from the core issue of urban planning is bad because no one wants to hard commit to it and because no place becomes urban overnight. Like
right.
And that's my problem is I feel like cars are the scapegoaty answer. And I'm not saying that you're trying to use them as a scapegoat, but I feel like they're a lot easier, more tangible thing to argue about that, yes, is a more practical to make rules about. But it's cars today, bikes tomorrow. Like there will always be something else because we're just trying to treat symptoms of the fact that humans do not live well in urban environments. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't live in urban environments necessarily, but that if we plan short-sightedly or when it comes to urban development, because these are generational problems, you know, cities with populations of like 50,000 people, A, likely are not going to become cities of millions of people at any given point in their future.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unlikely. And the circumstances that lead to them becoming more urbanized are always in flux. You can't really plan for your city to grow to be millions of people.
Right.
And then, but once it happens, it's too late. You can't, now people live here. And people who live in places don't like their places to change. They do, but not when they have construction crews operating 24/7 outside their windows. Then they don't. But that's what it would take, right?
Yeah.
Like, hear me out. I think that one of the best things you could do for urban development is modularize blocks. Like, you need to implement a standard for how buildings have to be built within a block. And that provides you options that you did not have before. For example, the Skybridge thing from before. There's a reason you don't just build sky bridges between floors of buildings, like high rises. But there's several. One, it's very rare that two buildings across the street from each other are owned by the same person. So now you have to get some form of cooperation between two entities and neither wants to pay for it, even though they might both benefit from it. That's problem A. Problem B is even if you did, there's no guarantee that the floor level of floor three is at the same height at floor level three of the other building. So there's going to have to be some type of taper up or down across. And that introduces engineering problems, right? Additionally, you can't put supports underneath it because there's probably a road there.
Right.
So you have many problems. I'm of the opinion that if you were to build a city, imagine that you were given the opportunity to say, okay, we're going to build a city which will be inhabitable or that should inhabit 4 million people. You could build that city a lot better, including the car problem, if you just knew that's what was going to happen, and then do that. And you could even, I think, convert existing cities to this plan, but they would be more expensive than building them from the ground up. You know, for example, what makes the most sense to me is move ground level up to like the third or fourth floor in the city. Like literally just move where the ground is. Build platforms to connect buildings up at that level or dig down. And it's not that that's impossible. If you look at just how many tunnels were erected in this, like New York City, for example, for subways, this is absolutely an achievable thing. When you look at just how deep underground there are big connections between places, this is doable. And have your cars operate at the deepest levels because then you remove pedestrians. This is not a place for pedestrians. Just like subway tubes are not places for pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
Neither do they need to be a place for pedestrians if they were using cars. And you do run into additional issues with this. Wrecks in tubes are a lot harder to clear than wrecks in the open air.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, they're not that much better than in a city street. If you get into a car wreck in the middle of a city when all you have is a grid, well, congratulations, traffic now becomes your biggest enemy as well. Because how do you get the wrecker down there?
The road is going to congest traffic and now you're impossible to extract. Yeah.
Right. But if you had multiple levels to work with, You just designate a layer to be the city service layer or whatever. You have to be special to operate in this layer. And it is for things like wreckers, emergency services, things like that, that can essentially move between areas, and then they can just move above where the wreck is, open the floor, pick up the cars that are causing the wreck, move it up to that layer, and move it out. Makes clearing traffic easier. There's no pedestrians here. And the main, and you don't want to put people below ground, you know, people walking around. People walking around want to be in the open air. And then you can remove all cars from this level, you know, around the third or fourth story. And the way you would build, I think, this out going forward for cities that already have this, you have to start kind of at the center, or you start at the edges. I mean, to me, the center makes the most sense. You want the center to be the highest point. You essentially want an ant mound of tunnels and car tracks that can be navigated up and down, and it gets higher towards the center because you're expecting to see the most amount of traffic towards the center or along a hub and spoke plan, because that's typically what happens. If I'm coming into a city at any given point in the perimeter, the likelihood, what most people do anyway, is they try to find the central most path, which is where we have the most lanes, navigate to the point at which they can no longer stay on that, or they will pass what they want to go to, and then you navigate out to thinner and thinner lanes until you, because the number of people needing to go to this specific place is lower than in the general area. So to me, therein lies your problem, is that cities are just not built. We occupy too much space to be put together, and it's deceptive. Like, we as individuals do not occupy that much space. But when you think about how many places you need to have that person and the diversity of the places that person has to have, they have to have a home. Like, apartments in cities are trying to be larger when they just can't, driving up prices. Places of business have to be larger to support more workers. And then every service industry in between has to have enough capacity to suit a potentially larger customer base. Even if it's not a single entity, it's subdivided, it's still just a lot of places. Every person needs about 5 to 10 places to be, and they all can't just pop into existence and pop out of existence. You get your efficiency and overlap, and the only place that doesn't overlap is your home, or where you pretend to exist. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, that's the biggest problem, is it's like, well, it's just, you know, 100,000 people. I'm like, yeah, but when you think about how many square feet does 100,000 people, does a single person need? And then how much of that square footage is reusable by the other people? And then what's the capacity at which it is being used, you know? Another example is, we all like to do things at the same time because reasons. Traffic would not be a problem if some people worked from 9 to 5, other people worked from 10 to 6, other people worked from 11 to 7, you know. If you could stagger the work schedules, it'd be fine.
But rush hour exists.
Yeah. But rush hour exists because we all like to go to work at the same time, because we all like to go home at the same time. Well, that's what you get. Everyone needs to move at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to build that infrastructure to handle that. I think some of the more creative ideas that we've seen, like places like China, have this problem where they do still have cars, and they have large, their urban planning is a bit different because they actually like subdivide their cities into like districts for purposes. Mm. Like, this is a working district. No one lives here. We've zoned all of the businesses into this gigantic segment of blocks. Congratulations, you've created a giant node that's going to connect to another giant node where people live, and you have to build a gigantic piece of bandwidth in between to migrate them all back and forth. So the way they deal with that is there is like a 12-lane highway. It's one of the widest highways in the world, and they literally have concrete dividers that divide the highway that they move back and forth depending on which direction the people are going. Mm. So there's like 2 lanes going out of the city in the morning when everyone's commuting in, and 10 lanes going in, and then they move them the other side the other way.
Amazing.
Yeah. But solutions like that, but that's another thing that we don't do right now. And it's admittedly also because humans are terrible at dealing with, humans are also just bad at changing circumstances like that until they get used to it. Traffic circles are a great example of this. People, if you do not live in a place in which you've ever had a traffic circle, roundabout, whatever you want to call it, for the first time you come upon one, it's terrifying. You're like, ah, where's my 4-way intersection? That makes sense to me. You know?
Right.
And that's not even that big of a change, really. It's actually a lot simpler rule-wise than a 4-way intersection is.
Right. There's no gridlock at at a roundabout. Yeah.
No. But imagine we did this for cities. Roads just changed from being bi-directional to one ways at different times of the day. And you just changed which direction the roads went. And you used signs that tell you what to do.
Between these times, this way, yeah.
Yeah, well, you can put a schedule out for people, but also imagine it could be more dynamic than that. And people just paid attention when they were driving. God forbid we do that.
Right. That's the other problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that... I think that that's one of the big reasons that people push for public transit. I'm not one of those people that like fetishizes public transit.
No.
But I see where some people are coming from in the sense that people whose job it is to drive other people around are going to pay more attention on the road than average people just driving in their personal car.
Yeah, because it's your job.
Right.
Spoiler alert. Another good example. You know what would make cities real easy that we don't do, but we do in certain places? Travelators.
What's that?
You've been to an airport, right?
Been a long time.
You're familiar with what an escalator is, right?
I know what an escalator. Oh, yes. It's the flat escalator.
Yeah. Travelators. That's what they're called.
Okay.
Most people... Okay. How are you supposed to use a travelator?
You walk straight down it.
Yeah. What do people actually do?
Stand still.
Yes, because they're morons. They don't understand. This is to help you get from point A to point B.
This is an accelerating thing. It just makes you walk faster. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not for you to be lazy and stand around and wait for it to carry you to the other side of this corridor.
Yeah. Imagine if city sidewalks were travelators. Good example. I don't know exactly how wide New York City is. I know it's wide. It's like, it's a big place.
Yeah.
Right. If you needed to walk from one end of the city to the other, that's going to take you a while.
It's going
to
take you all day. Yeah.
All day. But imagine I doubled your movement speed without any additional effort required.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've created ways that you can double your speed, I don't have to put them everywhere. It's like, I could walk straight down the street and get there in 45 minutes. Or I could go one street over, hop on the travelator, and walk, and I can cover the same linear distance in like a third the time, but then I have to spend that extra time walking a block back over at normal speed. It's actually faster for me to go over a street, walk the travelator there, and then come over. That's the other thing about that we don't do. We don't control pedestrian traffic very well. It's just no one thinks about that. I don't think. Like, no one cares about where people want to walk. You can be free to walk wherever you want. It's like, yeah, but we can incentivize that. The problem is that people are lazy. Also why people drive cars anyway. How many people do you know? I remembered this. When I lived on campus at a university, people that would get in their cars to drive around the university to another building, even though they lived on campus and it would take them 10 minutes to walk there in the morning. But they would get in their car and drive around the university and take them three times as long. Don't get me wrong, it's 5 minutes to drive there, 10 minutes to walk. But by the time you navigate around the parking lot looking for a parking spot for 20 minutes.
Right.
But people would rather do that. People would rather drive 5 minutes, look for a parking spot for 20, and then stop. And then get out. And then walk 5 minutes, which is really only half the distance that it would have been if you just walked in the first place to where you want to be. Like, what can you do? Like, people are always going to find ways to make it... I think your solution has to make things lazier for people.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the other thing you're going to have to deal with when it comes to, like... 'cause we haven't even begun to talk about the practical implications of implementing any of these plans. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there are ways that you can make it more efficient. Good luck getting it passed. 'Cause this is something that we have to decide democratically. You know who votes more than almost anybody else besides old people? Car owners. Yeah. Specifically, homeowners, which are the most likely group of people to have a car because guess what? They don't live in the city.
Right.
But they drive to it, and they're your congestion. Cities wouldn't be so bad if everybody in the city drove where they needed to go or had a car. Most people who live in cities do have cars. They just don't drive them most of the time because it's just easy to walk somewhere.
Right.
It's the people who don't live there that are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the suburbanites.
Yes.
Yes. Which that's its own problem.
That has other problems, and this creeps into a different area that I wanted to touch on, which is children, our favorite thing. I'm going to refer to them as things now.
They are property.
Because they are. children.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things to say about children as it relates to cars.
They have death wishes.
They do. Children are dumb.
Yep.
They're very stupid.
/ kids are dumb.
And other not so kind phrasings of that. So, okay. I was watching a thing about this today.
Okay.
Actually, before we ask why, you have definitely heard people complain, especially older people. Kids just don't play outside anymore. Why not? There are many reasons, but...
Well, the main one has nothing to do with cars, by the way. I don't think.
Maybe.
Hovercopter parents, or whatever you want to call it, is my opinion.
Yes.
And people think the world is not safe. So keep the kids where you can keep them safe.
Right.
In the house. And on top of that, you can have a lot more fun in your house than you used to be able to.
Yes. Those combined are pretty much the reason. That accounts for most of it. So, okay. Now, there's nothing to be said on this topic about how fun it is or how much fun you can have inside your house now.
Go on.
No comment about that. So, okay. It's too... Helicopter parents. Well, okay. Even if we say, okay, maybe not helicopter parents, but even just mildly concerned parents who are, okay, they worry about their children being outside. Okay, what threats are they worried about for their children outside? There's the immediate threat of cars, but also a big thing that has scared a lot of people is, oh, you never know when someone's going to come by in a white van and scoop up your kids and you'll never see them again.
Yes. The pedos.
Yes. Them.
Yes.
So the rarity of such an event notwithstanding, an interesting phenomenon is that people tend to feel more safe when there are other people around.
Which is counterintuitive, really.
Yes.
And probably wrong.
Because actually
wrong.
You are more safe when you're alone, yes.
But yeah, the fewer people there... Quick sidebar. Human beings are arguably the most terrifying macro-scale creature that have ever walked the earth.
Uh-huh.
Think about humans from the perspective of literally any other multicellular organism.
Uh-huh.
We are terrifying.
Yes. I've often thought about what it's like to be a bug in my house.
Or just any... Imagine being a raccoon.
Sure.
Seriously, like for a moment. Imagine we lived that existence. We're scavengers in lands of giants that... can do magical things.
There are also gods who can do all these things. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just like there is a god. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. There's millions of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Tangent within tangent. The story, Jake and the Giant Beanstalk, has a weird new allegory that I don't think people thought of at the time when it concerns this, when it comes to how other people would view humanity or other beings. Especially intelligent ones. Like, imagine being a chimpanzee that's a pet.
Mm.
And you're intelligent. Not that intelligent, but you're pretty intelligent. You're intelligent enough to understand the concept of property.
Mm-hmm.
And that you are that. It's kind of messed up when you think about it. Yes. Anyway, popping off that stack before we go too deep.
Right.
And realizing that zoos are essentially slavery.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway.
Jails, actually.
Yeah. Prisons, where you can put people on display.
Well, not people.
Not people.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Although now I think about it, I think I have a new vector of income for our private prison.
Oh, goodness. Stop.
I'm stopping.
Okay. So anyway, so people feel safer with other people around. And okay, there is a rational reason for this that I can think of.
Not knowing what the bystander effect is.
Well, not knowing what... Okay.
Yes. If you're unaware of the fact of reality that is the bystander effect.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Not being aware of the bystander effect. There is a feeling that if something were to happen to you, there's people around who can help you.
Or it's the person at least wouldn't get away with it. I think that's honestly how people look at it.
That's the thing. Right. So, right. If there were people crowding the streets all the time, then them pedos wouldn't have such a good chance of getting away with your kids and them never being found again.
Yeah.
Because there would be eyes on them. So... But since everybody's driving a car, people don't crowd the streets anymore.
I don't know if this applies, honestly. Because let's step back to the urban development problem. People still walk places. They're still there. And like,
not really, though.
Maybe not as much. I don't know.
Especially I'm thinking about like out in the suburbs.
That's a fact of reality. People
Nobody walks out in the suburbs.
That's an interesting proposition. Look at the ratio of front yard to backyard size in suburbs and how it's changed over the course of history.
Yes.
Front yards are tiny now.
Yeah. Because who spends time in the front yard?
No one, because that's where people are. Gross. Yeah.
Disgusting. I'm going in the backyard.
I'm going in the backyard, which has a nice big high wall around it so that no one else can see what I'm doing.
Up to. Yeah.
Even though I'm not up to anything suspicious.
But I don't want them to know. Yeah.
And we all stand on our decks and look over the fences at each other like, squinting. What are you doing over there? What are they doing?
The nerve of these neighbors existing.
Having a cookout without me? Smells terrible.
Smells terrible.
I mean, it smells great, but I'm mad.
But I'm mad that I'm not getting to protect.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes, I specifically meant for suburban families, yes. Because, yes, that's the people that we're talking about who are afraid that the kids are going to get taken away is suburban parents. So no one is on the streets there. But now I'm not suggesting that people should start walking who live in suburbs. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, the very design of suburbs keeps them away from the city. Cars are a necessity.
Yeah.
I just think that suburbs are bad for this reason.
Maybe. Before we talk about how it doesn't matter what we think about this, because that's where I'm going to ultimately go with this.
Yes.
I would agree that suburbs are kind of a microcosm for the same problems we have that are exacerbated by the internet, essentially. You have people that are nice and evenly distributed where it would be super easy for you to have neighbors know them and it wouldn't be such a big deal, right? Because I don't think, used to be a problem so much. And I don't think cars are the main issue. It's that people used to know their neighbors. Like, I lived in suburbs most of my life. And even when I lived in rural places, I still had neighbors. Like, we were living on small enough pieces of land that I could look out one side of my house and see the neighbor's house and look out the other side and see the other neighbor's house. But it wasn't like a perfectly clean cut subdivision like you would imagine.
Yeah.
But in each of those stages of life, because my parents are of an older generation and not very technologically inclined, they knew who their neighbors were because it was considered normal back then. When you had a new person move in, nosy neighbors were a thing. You would look out your window and see a moving van and go, huh, guess the so-and-sos are moving. Pull your paper back out. A few weeks later, new moving van. Crimples paper over.
Gotta go figure out who those people are.
Yep. Honey, make a casserole. We have new neighbors. And casseroles would be made that were terrible, but it doesn't matter. And they would be delivered to the new people on the block.
Here's your token casserole.
Here's your token casserole. We are the so-and-sos. We live at our address. We have so many, let us tell you about our children that we have so that you are aware. That
you definitely care about. Yeah.
That you definitely care about. But just in case you have kids, because our kids are now obligated to be friends because they live down the same street from each other.
That is literally how kid friendships
that
work.
Is how, osmosis, yes. Osmosis. Essentially. Childhood friendships. Oh, you mean friendship via osmosis, pretty much? Yeah. But that's what it was like. And so since they had kids, you had kids, and most of the time people who have kids live near other people who have kids, you just knew who those people were. And so you felt safer knowing everybody, even if that person could absolutely be a predator that you know. And that's often how it happened. Most people knew who the predator was. They just couldn't believe that they were that person mm-hmm. who did that thing, you know? And so, I don't know. I feel like now that even adults in suburban areas don't know each other, that makes it even more terrifying. Because what we said earlier, people feeling safe around other people, adults feel safer as adults around other people, but I think that adults feel more terrified of other people when they have kids for the sake of their kids. A good example, even in urban environments, it's becoming a lot less common for kids to be using public transit by themselves.
Yes.
That used to be pretty common. Like, if you were a kid in New York City, they would throw you on a city bus at 7 to go to school
mm-hmm.
by yourself.
Yep.
Like, go to school.
No big deal.
No big deal. Get on the subway at 7 years old and go to school or whatever. They don't do that anymore. That's just not a thing anymore. You take them or you figure something out. Or there's like the chaperone parent that like herds children to and fro, you know? Like,
I'm a supportive parent. I support my children in anything they do that is within a convenient 15-minute drive. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that if you took cars away, it would still be a problem because people just don't. They're just not familiar with others anymore. I think it has a lot more to do with our social distance, no pun intended, than it does cars, honestly. Even though all of the threats are just made easier into your home by the internet that you should be caring about, but whatever. And it's ignorance. I honestly think that most people are just dumb when it comes to interacting with other humans, like the bystander effect. If people knew about the bystander effect, I don't know, it would have killed public community. Also, what even is community anymore? Like, most people don't, when they say my community, they don't think of specific people like they used to, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
They think of, oh, this physical place in which I live that has murals that looks pretty, but it's still barren of people, you know? I don't know, maybe I'm just jaded about it. From the safety aspect, though, I totally do see it. Cars are absolutely a hazard to children because children are dumb.
They're dumb.
Yeah. Ball goes rolling into street. Child runs into street.
Ball, very important. I must get the ball. Yes.
Ooh, me get ball. Yes. Trucks not paying attention. Dead child. Yeah. It's pretty
morbid. That is how that happens.
That is how that do. Yeah. So, again, I don't know that cars are the main problem here. I think it's that society's the problem. To avoid that cliche. That be all being said, there are still other big issues with cars. Again,
mm-hmm.
like I'm of the opinion, and not to mention we've talked about urban and suburban. The main problem with traffic a lot of the time is how you build those neighborhoods, you know, in the first place. How do people get from the suburbs to the urban environment and back again? It creates essentially traffic zones in which these are primarily used for transit. And I think most people who live in the suburbs or in an urban environment but drives out to the suburbs every now and again knows the flow. There's the main city where all the things are, but then you leave that and you start seeing like restaurants and shopping centers, like services and consumable goods.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that ring, there'll be like clusters of those around an urban environment. And then there's the suburbs that cluster around those because people in the suburbs want to stop on their way to work and get crap, or more usually stop on the way home to pick up groceries, stop on the way home to pick up food.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to go get those things, I don't want to have to drive into the city to do it. I just want to drive locally to do it. The city's where I work though. So people drive from the suburban environment through the business district of services to the real business district where real business gets done and money gets made somehow, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. I think autos could also solve this problem.
Yeah, that could help.
Especially
by autos, we mean self-driving vehicles.
Yes. Self-driving
autos is vehicles. The general term for any autonomous thing. But just that another CGP Grey term. Well, I don't know that it's a CGP Grey term, but that's his preferred term.
It's a good one.
Yes.
I think it's his. Yeah, he has a couple videos. He mentions them in a couple, but there's a specific one about how human drivers are terrible.
Yes.
And I think that you could increase the efficiency of roadways to be sufficient enough, like with existing infrastructure, that you would remove a lot of the problems that you have. Autos are also a lot safer when it comes to pedestrians.
Here's a question. Mm-hmm. Okay. Parents now have to drive their kids everywhere because they live far away from anything interesting in a suburb. Or they are afraid to put their kids on public transit.
Yep.
Alone. Do you think there would be rapid uptake of parents willing to put their kids in an auto alone?
See, this is interesting to me because it depends, I think. Mm-hmm. Me trying to think about this as a parent, absolutely. I would love it. The one condition, though, is that there is no, that I can put my auto in such a mode that it cannot be manually operated.
Right.
As long as that is a condition that is met, lock the doors.
Yeah, we assume full auto, yeah.
Yeah. Here's how I imagine it going, right? People are already comfortable with their children using Uber, which is weird.
Really? I didn't even know that. That's kind of spooky.
People are also okay with their kids taking cabs. You know why? You can just open your phone and see where it is.
Yeah.
You can be the hovercopter parent via the internet.
Yes.
The way that parents want to be. So yeah, they're fine with it. If I can look on my phone and see where my car is with my child in it, then yeah, that's fine. Because I would already trust a stranger to drive them, mm-hmm. which is essentially an auto to me, because we don't treat Uber drivers or cab drivers like they're people. They're just the meat brain behind the auto machine anyway, in a lot of cases. You know, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you to talk to me. Stay up there.
Right.
Drive
take,
me.
Take to my money and take me where I'm going.
Take my money, take me to the place, and then let me get out. That's what I want. And most drivers are more than happy to be that too, because they don't want to talk to you either.
Yeah.
Unless you're me. And if I were an Uber driver, which in that case, welcome to the
please
worst.
Don't become Uber, an Uber driver.
Welcome to the worst Uber of your life, where I'm going to talk to you the whole time and you're going to hate it. And you're going to leave a 1-star review and I'm going to get fired. But anyway,
because that's how Uber works.
That's how the Uber do. I would, like, if I had a child that went to a school that I would normally have to and buses weren't a thing. Let me just preface this. Or I had to send my kid to a school that wasn't the one that would normally service my area.
Right.
Which, so hear me out.
The bus doesn't take your kid there.
There is no the bus. There is a bus, but it goes to the wrong school. Yeah. I want them to go to a different school. If I could just have my car drive my kid to school and then come back and park itself in the driveway and turn off. I'm getting up at 10. You go to school. Your mother will wake you up and put you in the car and then it will drive you to school. Because she's got things to do too. Or even better, because this is how I imagine autos would actually work. Imagine Uber with autos.
Right. Yeah, that's the way I was kind of imagining it. When you said my auto, I'm like, I don't even necessarily see this going. Like, long term, people won't even own their own autos. Yeah, it's just you summon one to go to a place.
I think people still will.
I don't think that personal ownership is just going to go away. Mm-mm. There are conveniences of being able to immediately get into a car and go. But most of the time, well, you can save a lot of money.
Well, also, how often... Okay, so I've had this argument with people who live in urban environments, too. How often would you need to drive somewhere that is not not supported by walking or urban, like, mass transit, we'll say? How often would you need to actually get in that car and drive somewhere to where it is actually just cheaper for you to just rent a car every time you needed to go somewhere? Mm-hmm. How often is it really, do you think? Like, if you lived in a city where you could walk to work, walk to get your groceries, you know, how often would you need to leave the city, do you think?
Once a week.
Once a week. Is that too frequent for you to just rent a car each time you needed to go somewhere? I guess it depends on where you're going.
It does.
But let's say Uber instead, right? an Uber that's going to take you to the next town over and back again later, right? It's going to probably cost you $40 or $50 per trip. We'll just say per round trip. Let's just say it costs $50 per round trip to make it easy. Because that's what I would do. Like, I would drive you to the next town over, a 20-minute drive, and back for $50. Heck yeah, that's $50 an hour minus gas worth.
Right.
To me, anyway. So you'd be doing that once a week. So how much is that a year?
Let's see, if you're doing
50 times 52.
Right.
$2,600 a year?
Yes.
You pay a lot more in your car bill and in maintenance.
Right. Yep.
So if you were a smart economical agent, you would probably just Uber that once a week deal. And then when you wanted to go on like a road trip, rent a car. You never have to end the convenience, you know? I also think that's part of it. Like, if people actually thought about these things too, and we can't also ignore the fact that cars exist as a status symbol. That's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I would agree with you. I'm on board with that being a problem. People owning cars because car cool. Fine. Go leave it in a garage somewhere and go see it on the weekend if it's that cool and you really want it. But people love to drive their cars because they like being in their little box where they can control the sound system. But put that sound system in your ears in the form of headphones and walk. Like, I don't know. But I think besides that, I mean, if you look at the number of people that realistically, like, actually looked at it, you know, because I think there's this, the reason why do we even want cars in the first place besides the status symbol? It's freedom.
Yes.
I can get in that thing and go wherever I want, whenever I want. True. True statement. But when do you?
But you don't, though.
But you don't,
so
though.
So why bother? Yeah.
Oh, because we like having the option.
You do have the option. You could just rent one.
Yeah, but I'd have to go rent it. But I can't be spontaneous. See what I mean?
Sure you can.
Yeah, people are illogical. That's the other reason. Which is my final segment in this whole situation, which is, too bad, you won't change it. Because, right. Hi, yes. Homeowner here, I don't care what you think about your roads. I don't care what you think about your cars. All of the things you would suggest to change these things would have the same outcome to me. You would drop my property values. And I don't want that, because that's the only form of equity that most Americans have is in our homes. And if that thing loses money, you're robbing from me. And we vote as a block of people. And we don't want that. So unless you think democracy bad, tough. We want the roads. And you know what? We don't live in your cities, but guess what? Your cities need us. And they care what we think, because we often usually have more money than you, and we need to dispose of it somewhere. I'm just saying, like, I'm not right. trying to sound evil here, mm-hmm. but, like, it's the truth. The reason cities don't just kowtow and listen to what the people in the city want, they want those people to come into the city. They want them to come here, spend their money, and leave, and mm-hmm. not use any of their services and make things more expensive. They're almost nothing but a gain for the city's finances and for the businesses. And they're a huge block of people, you know? I guess that's my, like, thing, like, reality check moment is, even if you're right, even if you could prove it beyond a reasonable doubt that these would be better for people, who, though? You know? Which people? You know, I think the last I looked at it, about 65% of Americans owned a home. Owned, not just rented a home. They've got you beat in the majority, and they don't want it. You know, you'd have to come up with a solution that causes their property values to go up, but the laws of nature just do not let that happen. Because what makes our homes valuable?
I mean, there might be a counterpoint of evidence here, though.
Okay.
Property values of homes in places like that were developed before mainstream adoption of cars are extremely high.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, you're talking about, like, in cities, like, that have become urbanized?
Yes.
because people want that land to turn it into something else. Hey, look at this big house that could easily fit a two-story building with multiple businesses. That's going to generate way more income than that house does right now. Problem, though, it's not zoned for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be either, because an attack on one homeowner is an attack on us all, and we want our residential zones to say the same. You know, it'd be one thing if that person really wanted to actually extract that value from their home and sell it to a business that's going to just tear that house down and turn it into a business, but that's not how zoning laws work.
Right.
Now, this could be changed. Get rid of zoning laws.
Yeah.
But the problem is most of the people who would make the suggestions that you would make or have these grand ideas of how to make cities plan to use zoning laws to make those changes.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the people, you're not going to get those people to vote to change it, I don't think. They're not going to. They would have to vote against their self-interest, which, to be fair, people do all the time, you know, so maybe they will, but not their financial self-interest. You know, so I don't know. I feel like the way you would have to do it is to vote out zoning laws and then let it happen organically. Because most homeowners are okay, actually, with you getting rid of zoning laws, because they're not necessarily the ones being protected by zoning laws, right? Because they're not. They, if anything, feel as though they're being oppressed by zoning laws a lot of the time. Because, oh, great, now you can build a business right in my backyard, which is going to deteriorate my property value because no one wants to live next to a busy business all the time, right? So if you voted to get rid of zoning laws, maybe, because that would allow homeowners who own land and buildings that would be way better suited for businesses to be sold to those businesses. And then now you've removed a car. Or cars from that link in the chain. And businesses want those roads. They want ways to get where they may or may not want those roads. They want whatever is going to yield the most people to their front door. You know?
I think there might have been a misunderstanding. So the properties that I claim to have high values are ones that are not very car accessible because they were built before, they were developed before cars were mainstream.
Like, what do you mean? Like, I guess I'm having a hard time placing because I'm imagining like, because every city has that place where it's like, oh, it's city. And then there's just like these random row of houses and then city, then more city buildings. It's like, because those are expensive, right?
Yes.
That's what I imagine. What do you mean by that?
Okay. I'm not going to remember like a specific example, but essentially like neighborhoods before suburbs.
Okay.
Like, yeah, these places were built with like streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
But streets that people walked on.
Right.
Like that was their purpose. Or like, I don't know, maybe there were horses and carriages, I'm sure, but
are these places that were already like
but these what places are old.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. Are these places like
those places are considered prime real estate by home buyers?
But are they like near city centers, I assume, since they were dense before city? Yeah, same thing. They're expensive because people want to live next to businesses because you can walk to them.
Right.
You don't have to drive. Or I think more likely the case, because commercial real estate is more expensive than residential real estate. I think the thing is that usually if there's a lot of congestion in commercial real estate, it can... If you were to actually make those homes purchasable by businesses, they would sell for a lot more because a business would see value in putting itself there.
Mm-hmm.
Or because imagine you're a real estate developer and on one big stretch of road, you've got businesses for the first five blocks and these places are renting for $10,000 a storefront a month. Insane. Those houses don't cost $10,000 a month or they shouldn't. Because people, the average person cannot afford $10,000 a month home payment.
Right.
But a business can afford to pay $10,000 a month on a lease. So if I could just buy that house and build a business front and then rent that business space out, I could make way more money than that person's currently paying for their value in that home. So The reason they're expensive now is because people want to live in a place where they can walk to and from work, or they want to live close to the city but still have what they would have in a suburb, which is a yard, and or they want to, they, you know, they want to live in a house that's right next to, like, they want to have all the things you would have in a suburb but next to the city, you know. So homeowners would be fine with letting those become rezoned incrementally, you know what I mean? Like, because those homes are still valuable for the, because they're also rare. Like, it, you're in a natural scarcity because there's only so many places where there are homes next to businesses. And the farther out you get from that, like, you typically see this thing where you have...
it's natural and artificial because also zoning laws.
True.
Those places are not being replaced because it's illegal.
Mm-hmm. But the problem would be is that if you flip those places to commercial immediately, you would flood the commercial space with a bunch of new properties that could be acquired. And it becomes a race to sell first. Because anybody who doesn't sell, that property value is going to go in the toilet.
It's going to tank, yeah.
Yeah, so you would need to do it incrementally. And the problem is no one likes to do zoning laws a block at a time. They like doing it in big swaths, you know. Like, it would make a lot more sense in my head to just let it be done independently, you know. But that just not be how it is. Because if you remove zoning laws, then enough businesses would be able to move in, and then as soon as property values be in a tank, homeowners would stop selling, right? You would let the market dictate how many homes need to be converted to businesses, and those people will relocate elsewhere, you know? But if it's more valuable for people to live there than for a business to be there, then it will stay the way it is, and it will slowly shift out with time, you know? That's what I would advocate for anyway. But I don't think that's necessarily a car problem, though. Like, it can feed the car problem, but that also kind of gets us back to the very beginning where I talked about, and I think this is true, these incremental changes are not very friendly for urban development, which I know we're a little over time, but I think it's worth saying. As big of a fan as I am of letting people self-determine, I think it's pretty natural to see places in which there are more people, you see less freedom. I think that makes sense because it's not so much because there are more people that you could run into, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, your choices affect more people when there are more people around.
Right.
Makes sense. You don't have the places to spread out. And like, I would understand to some degree if I lived in a city that of all the people in the city want things to be a certain way. At some point, you kind of just have to deal with it. That comes with the territory of living in a city.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like that, like, if you lived in a city and you wanted to have a gun range in your backyard, at some point, that's just too bad. You just can't now. You know? Or not, or you'd have to put a lot in to make it safe.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just tough. And so at what point do you draw that line where it's like everyone gets together and decides by, because it's different than government to me. Government's involved, but it could be different. Like, even in the absence of a government, I think you would still see this thing occur. And it's because we want to be safe, and it's going to happen anyway. Like, the majority is going to get what they want, even if it has to be through some artificial means, even if there's no government to enforce it, it'd still be through like the market, you know, one way or the other. You know, and I think that people want things to just be a certain way in a city. So at that point, I think that you could almost justify, you know, it's like, well, I want to live in the very heart of the city and have my gun range in my backyard. Well, at some point, people are going to look for any excuse where you screw up to like kick you out, to take your land away from you. And that's what happens, you know, and that's, and yeah. Practically speaking, or principally speaking, it's wrong to do that. But practically speaking, there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Because
It's going to be really hard to convince any of your neighbors that could happen to them because they don't believe that that's the truth. They're like, no, it won't happen to me because I'm down with the flow, man. I'm down with the insert city life, insert city name life here, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure we'll probably revisit this again at some point.
That's possible.
Cars 2. Why was it better than Cars 1?
Internal combustion boogaloo.
No, I mean like the movie Cars 2, objectively better than Cars 1.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it.
Philosopher's Movie Night. Cars 2.
Cars 2.
Philosophers.
Philosophers. If you like the music in this episode, please check out Jippy on Bandcamp at jippy.bandcamp.com.
Philosophers is supported by viewers like you.
If there's a topic you'd like us to discuss,
or a topic you'd like to see revisited in the future,
please let us know by contacting us using the methods in the description,
or in the comments below. Thank you for listening.